Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Langa. And Sim, as we look ahead to this weekend, the Purdue Boilermakers get ready to make the quick trip up north to South Bend. And it doesn't get any easier for Purdue, another ranked game, which, you know, will say a lot this year. Based off the schedule that the Boilermakers have, but also the first road test of the year. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how this team, you know, there's a lot of question marks, you know, to see how this team responds after the USC game, to see how they play on the road. But, you know, as we talked about in the recap from the USC game, you know, I think that there's still a lot of positive vibes and just things to be nervously excited about for this weekend.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think that there's a different type of angst, like nervousness going into this game. Like you just pointed out, it's the first time we're going to see this Purdue team on the road. So when you think about like how one of the things we've talked about with this team is how disciplined, how well coached they've been. You know, they've played three home games, so it's a little easier. You know, obviously when you're at home and you're not having, you know, 50, 60, 70,000, you know, coming down on you, you know, yelling at you and whatnot, booing against you. I'm sorry. It's going to be a little different. So, you know, wanting to see how does this team and the way that they've been coached, like, you know, the things that they've been working on, those habits, those routines, how do those carry over when you're on the road? And yeah, just how does this team handle its first bat, like this particular type of adversity? I know we talked after the first, you know, the first game of, you know, how are they going to handle winning? You know, will they want more? You know, will they kind of rest on their laurels? And now it's like, all right, well, you lost one now. So how do we bounce back from that? You know, do guys come out with this kind of, with this chip on their shoulder, or this anger of like, we didn't like the fact that we lost, and especially because we know we were able to compete in that game. And it's like, we want to kind of erase the memory of that, or use that memory as fuel to, you know, to inspire a special performance. You know, we'll see. But I know for myself, I'm eager to see how this team responds after last week.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me, well, one of the biggest things, and it stinks because I feel like I'm almost having deja vu from last year. And that's Purdue going to South Bend to take on a Notre Dame team coming off of a loss. I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of the game against A&M. It went down to the very wire. A&M ended up winning by one because of a missed extra point by Notre Dame late. And so that was a game where I was watching Sim and I was like, man, Notre Dame just win. Like, I want to play a 1-1 Notre Dame team versus an 0-2 pissed off Notre Dame team. But you know, that happened. And so now you got to deal with it. But it's just like, man, like, I feel like we had the same talk last year where Notre Dame got upset right before we went there. And like, here we are again, like Notre Dame coming off a loss. And I guess the only difference is this time they're coming off of two losses, but you know, that almost makes it worse because, you know, there's not a team, it needs a win more in the country probably than Notre Dame.
Yeah. I agree. I remember last year and watching that Northern Illinois game and being like, oh, like being torn. Cause I was like, oh, cool. Like they lost. But also I was like, oh shit, they lost. So you knew it was going to be a pissed off Notre Dame team. And I think this year it's going to be a pissed off team, but also a desperate team because they understand that, you know, with each loss, I think I saw some stat that they had, like going into the season, they had a 56% chance of making the college football playoff. And now I think that's down to like 8%. And I'm sure that they're probably knowing that, like, they have to turn things around. They have to start winning. And they got to start, honestly, they got to start, it's got to be belt to ass on a lot of these teams. And I don't want that to start with us like it did last year. Hey, so yeah, so I'm
Oh.
I would hope that, you know, that's kind of the message that's being, because here's the thing, they're an 0-2 football team, but they're an 0-2 football team that's lost to two good teams. They lost to two top 20 teams. So it wasn't like they are underachieving per se. I mean, I know in, maybe in their eyes what their expectations, but like it's not like they haven't played like two walkover opponents and just like and you know, an underachieved. It's like he played two ranked teams, two good teams, and you know, you lost them. So
Yeah.
it's still a good football team that they're gonna face. And now they're gonna be not only are they gonna be pissed off, but they're gonna be pissed off and desperate. And that definitely gives you a bit of concern, a bit more concern, outside of the fact that yeah, it is in South Bend too, which like that doesn't make things any better. So yeah, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch all of the really much of the Notre Dame game because you know I was at Ross 8 for what felt like 10 hours, but yeah, I am aware of the fact that they lost. I saw the way that the game ended, and I know that just the way that the game ended on top of the fact that they lost, I'm sure that that just yeah, it's not sitting well with them. So I know we talked about in the like yeah, you know, you want to see how Purdue responds to their bit of adversity. I'm sure Notre Dame people are saying the same thing about like, hey, what are you going to see from this team now? Because they're probably saying it's now or never.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point. And you know, the one thing I will say is, while we had a lot of deja vu last year, talking about this, I think we're both pretty confident that the outcome will be a little different. Last year, Notre Dame came into Ross Aid and won 66-7. So I don't, you know, I don't want to spoil anything when we kind of do our prediction, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that neither of us are gonna have an outcome quite like that.
That's fair.
So, but this team is still really good. Like you said, even though they're 0-2, you know, a credit goes to them for going out and actually playing some teams early on. You know, I saw some things on Twitter that was like, you know, how are they ranked this week? Like they're like 0-2, and like to me, an 0-2 team when you play two top 20 teams in the country is not much different than a team who's 2-0 and played like an FCS school and like a MAC school. You know, like there's I think they deserve some credit for going out and playing some real tough teams. You know, they go to LSU, top five team, and then they play the Aggies at home, and then they get the Boilermakers at home, you know, which real big get, no. But all jokes aside, like, shout out to them for the schedule and, like, this is a game where I'm sorry. I don't know why I said LSU. I meant Miami on the road. My apologies, but still, like, you go out and play a team like that on the road. You know, it's just refreshing to see some teams still go out and play schedules like that versus playing Cupcake City. Now, I know, like, a lot of people will probably be like, well, if you look at the rest of the schedule, you know, it seems to be kind of favorable for them. But, you know, not a lot of teams have this schedule like Notre Dame has to start the year. So a credit to them. But, you know, I say all of that to say, Sim, kind of when we talked about the preview episode last week, where it was like we weren't really sure kind of who we were going to see with Purdue and USC, like, it's kind of tough to get a gauge on Notre Dame too, because like they've played two of the best teams in the country, and so like they've clearly showed that they can score. They've shown that their defense is vulnerable at times, but you know, like, how much of that is because of the teams they played versus, you know,
Right.
who they have on their roster?
Right. Yeah, you sure you do want to know what the medium is of for or what's the median is for Notre Dame, like what's that proper level that they're at? Because like you said, like they lost to Miami 27-24, and now it's kind of like an uglier game. Actually, I believe they were down a bit. They were down for most of that game too, and then were able to come back late when they were able to string a couple drives together. But then obviously, but 41-40, that's by all means that's a shootout. I think yeah, you can say, just like you said, the defense, you can move on them, you can score, but offensively, and so thus for our defense, like they have a number of guys who can pose problems themselves. And I think CJ Carr, their quarterback, he started to play a bit better. He played, it was 20 of 32 for 293 against A&M, which is better than what the performance have. I mean, statically too, is better than the performance he had against Miami. So kind of in the same boat of like kind of like we're looking at with Ryan Brown, where it's like, hey, he's playing better. But like you said, the competition for Notre Dame hasn't been like most schools. Most schools will schedule, you schedule a top five game, to start the year. But then the next one, maybe two, are just like directional schools, you're gonna beat the shit out of. But Notre Dame went and played, yeah, two of the best teams in the country. And while they didn't win, it doesn't does it, does that mean that, oh, well, now Purdue should be able to go in there and be able to hang toe to toe for them? I don't know. My hope is that they do, but we're just it's it, it is another, oddly enough, it is another game where you're kind of like, well, okay, well, what are we going to see from both teams?
Yeah, and I think like the biggest question mark for me on the Purdue side, to your point, is what are you going to see specifically from Ryan Brown? We know that the offense is going to be able to move the ball. We talked about, how impressed we were with, some of the playmakers on the outside are really starting to emerge. And to me, that's the biggest question mark for this team is offensively, can you take that next step, and finish some drives? Because Ryan Brown had over 300 yards passing. You had three guys who essentially has 70 yards receiving, but as far as points, you didn't have a lot to speak for it. So what are the Boilers going to do? What is Coach Henson going to do with his play calling? What is Ryan Brown going to do once you get into the red zone?
Yeah, no, I mean you're right. Like field goals will not beat Notre Dame. So, granted, field goals alone will not beat Notre Dame. I think we can all say that's pretty safe. But like, if you get in the red zone five times, you can't go 2 of 5 like they did last week against USC. Like, I mean, you can. You probably won't win. But like, if you're wanting to win, you get in the red zone five times,
Let's not
you're
try it.
gonna have to
Let's
have.
not test it.
Yeah, I don't. Let's yeah, let's not. You need to try to go, three, 4 or 5 on with touchdowns, because that's what it's going to take to beat this type of opponent. So, like you said, I'm looking at, Ryan Brown first off to see if, in terms of his decision making, just not necessarily. And I mean, like you throw for 305 yards, so like, yeah, that should be all good. But obviously, as we talked about in the preview episode, and as everyone saw, he has some throws that he'd like to have back. And you can't be charitable with the football. So his decision making is, because sometimes I think a good play can be like knowing when the play is over, knowing when you've lost, and just like taking a sack, or when hey, look, you're running, you're scrambling, and just throw the ball away. Those can be good plays. Like those can be smart decisions as well. And so I'm going to be looking for more of the details again with Ryan Brown as he continues, to gain more experience and more, and his snap count goes up. You just want to see, okay, well, like, have you learned from last week? You have guys, as we talked about, at the wideout position, where they're seemingly able to, they're showing themselves as options. So then you look against a defense like Notre Dame, who has shown an ability to be able to give up big plays. Can we have a guy or two who's able to consistently win and get open to where Ryan Brown's able to find him? I look at the O-line. Are you going to be able to, like, what are we going to do there? Because you also will need to establish the run. I think that's going to be extremely important. You need to make sure that you have the run, because it allows us then, I think it allows Henson then to be able to call, to get into a rhythm in terms of play calling. When you're able to have that run complementing the pass, you don't become as predictable. So then if he does decide to put in a Malachi Singleton, maybe then you're knowing, okay, look, he might do both. You know, he might throw the ball, he might run it. Those are the type of things I'm looking for from the offense in terms of like, hey, like, are we going to do what we need to do execution wise, you know, at all levels, whether it's the line, the quarterback, the skill position guys, are you guys going to show up in a way that allows us to be able to put points up, and at worst, you know, hopefully make Notre Dame have to kind of answer and respond.
No, and I'm glad you brought up establishing the run. That was one thing that kind of frustrated me over the weekend is I felt like that we didn't get Mock going. And I was actually kind of surprised, and I wanted to bring this up. One thing I saw on Twitter was actually leading the Big Ten in rushing attempts so far through 3 weeks is Devin Mockabee, with I believe 57 rushing attempts. So, you know, it has been a concerted effort that kind of shocked me a little bit. It to me, it doesn't seem like he's gotten that many touches. I would like to see him get more. And you know, it's really, you know, a testament to him because he comes in every week and you know he is the focus of the defense. At least like early on right now, I'm pretty sure every defense that game plans for us is saying, let's take Mockabee out of the game and make Ryan Brown beat us through the air. And with that, you know, Mock's still able to get, you know, 5, 6 yards. Like, it seems like we've left some runs out on the table. I would have liked to see us try to run the ball a little bit more. And I know the game script, especially in this second half, probably kind of got us away from that. But to me, we're not going to beat Notre Dame in South Bend if Mockabee doesn't have a big game running the football.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that this is a game where, you know, Mockabee, I think honestly too, especially if you're able to get the run established, this is gonna be a game where Devin Mockabee like really kind of cements himself, in terms of like, you know, you talk about, well, like when you're talking about Devin Mockabee after the fact, you're like, man, like, do you remember that game you had a senior year at Notre Dame? Well, you know, when he ran for, you know, 135 yards and two touchdowns or something like that. If you can get him established and you can, and look, I think ideally you want to be able to get him established to where he's doing his damage, you know, running the ball, but also too in the receiving game as well, because he poses that dual threat. But I just think the overall of getting him established and really getting him touches, I think that can bode really well for Purdue. I think it makes it easier for Ryan Brown when he's running. I think it makes it easier on the receivers as well, because that means that, you know, at least a second set of eyeballs is constantly in the backfield looking at Mockabee. So yeah, I think this is a game where you look to your key guys. And you have to understand that, like, if you can get them involved early and often, this can bode well for you, like, as you know, as you progress within the game.
Yep. No, I would agree. And you know, switching sides over to the defense soon. We talked about it a little bit in the recap, and you know, you want to see your team generate some turnovers, and eventually it just has to happen, right? Like I just feel like at some point, either a running back's gotta cough up the ball or a quarterback's gotta throw it in your arms. It's going to happen soon. I really hope that it happens this weekend, because you're going to need to generate a couple of turnovers, I feel like. But after the USC game, but like even, you know, to me, generating when I see a couple of turnovers, that can include getting a stop on fourth down. You know, like if you can stop them at midfield, that's just as good as, you know, getting like a strip sack, you know, or getting a interception. Like that was one area where I feel like Purdue struggled against USC was getting off the field, especially on fourth down. And so, you know, I'll kind of lump that in with the turnovers. Like, if you can generate some plays like that, give your offense some short fields, and kind of get some momentum going, because it just feels like, especially in that USC game, you couldn't get any like anything really positive happening. And so I think for me, you want to see something, you know, like a negative play, a big sack on the first drive or something like that to get some momentum going early, to really help this defense.
Yeah, man, we talked about in the preview, in the, excuse me, the recap episode about how they were four. The defense was four. USC was 4 of 13 on third downs, which isn't great, but they were 4 for 4 on fourth down. And converting a fourth down can be such a gut punch to a defense, but also, and then conversely, it is a boost of confidence to an offense because now they're sitting there thinking like, look, they might be able to stop us on third down, but when it really matters, they can't get us off the field. And like you said, like. If you're not able to get turnovers, which obviously, you know, which we hope changes, being able to just get off the field, you know, be able to get a stop, if it's a turnover on down, that's fine. That works just as well. Or if you're getting them into, you know, if you have them into third and long situations and, you know, they're not, it's like if it's third and nine and they only get, you know, 3 yards on there, then it's fourth and six and you're like, all right, depending on where you're at in the field, yeah, you're probably kicking that away. But you know, that third down, if you're giving them, you know, if it's third and nine and you give them and they, you know, they get 8 yards, yeah, you can't be surprised then when they try to you know, they try to run it on they try to go for it on fourth down. So yeah, I agree with you there that on top, like turnovers, yes, you'd like to see those, but you would also just like to see if you're not going to get turnovers, can we get more pressure on the quarterback to where he's having to get the ball out faster? Can we, you know, can you have more tackles for loss? You know, guys getting into the backfield, trying to contain that run game because that is a massive concern going into this game between Jeremiah Love and then Jadarian Price, two of like two like probably the. Probably one of the best running back duos in the country, if not the. You know, so you're gonna have your hands full with that. So it is like in a team that can run the ball so well, it's gonna be imperative to get off the field because you might set yourself up for having these long drives. And I equate a run game to like boxing, where early on, if you can establish the run, it's like when boxing, if you have body shots early in those first couple or in those first few rounds. You get into those late rounds, so in this case, you get in the fourth quarter, and now you can just run, and your opponent at that point, like in boxing, you get hit with enough body shots, then eventually you see them start to break, and I don't want to see that for this Purdue team. If they're able to kind of get there, be able to control the run, that bodes well for them. Control the run and getting off the field, that'll bode well for them in terms of just their energy level and their effectiveness, like later in the game when they probably will still need it.
No, I would agree. And that's why I think probably two of the biggest guys to watch on defense are going to be Charles Corral and Manny Powell at the linebacker spots, because you're really going to need them to, fill the holes and, play that, just attack the running backs, because I agree with you. I think this is one of the best running back combos in the country, definitely the best that probably we will face all year, and so you're gonna need those guys. You're gonna need the guys on the line like a Harkless to really, even if he doesn't make tackles, to fill, to take up two or three blockers so that Powell or Correa or whoever can, fill in right behind them, and clean the play up. I think that's going to be a big part of it. And to your point, like, even if you can't generate some turnovers, like, just get them in some third and longs. I think there was a lot of times, I think you bring up a really good point, like in the USC game, where it always seemed to be like third and seven, third and eight, third and nine. And if they didn't get it, then they almost got right at the sticks, and made it like a fourth and one. And so, if you can get them, with some, if you can just generate some negative plays, especially on first and second down, and get them in some third and 12s, third and 10, third and 13, whatever it is. It just sets you up so much better than, like a third and six.
Yeah, because again, depending on where you're at in the on the field, they might be looking at it like, okay, you got two downs to get these 6 yards, and it's third and six, and they get five. Now they're feeling like, again, you look at that run game, and they're like, all right, cool, we can just line up and hand it off to Jeremiah Love, and he's probably gonna get us get he should be able to make a guy miss, or throw a stiff arm, or probably hurdle a guy, and and you got problems there. So yeah, you just I think too, like, tackling is gonna be really, really important, because again, both of those running backs are not guys who go down typically on first contact. So whoever's the first guy on the scene, wrap him up and like just hold on for dear life. And then hopefully we continue to see this trend where, guys are flooding to the football. So if you're able to hold him up, then you have, the cavalry coming right after, and you have a couple bodies who are able to take him down. But I agree with you, man. You need to be in, you need to, if you're able to get him in these third and seven, eight, nine, or you need to make sure that you're really get that, like, that you're not letting them get close to converting, because that just it just continues to put added stress on the defense, and so if you can stay ahead of that, it'll bode really well for you. You want them to have to go for it like out of proper desperation, and not so much of like, well, they know they can't stop us. It's just kind of like you want it to more so be like, well, we have to go for it because, like, shit, like, it's either this or we, lose, or we punt the ball back, we're down. You don't want it to be a, I felt like at times USC went for it on fourth. I feel like a couple of their fourth downs they went for, it was like, well, we know they can't stop us. So, like, we could kick it, but, like, we don't think they can stop us. And I'm like, no, like, I don't like that. And I'm not on the defense, but I don't like that.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And Sim, before we kind of look ahead to doing some predictions here, I did want to get your thoughts on one thing because I saw this story kind of generate a little bit on Twitter here within the past couple of days. And as the contract with Notre Dame wraps up here soon, there's been some talk about, like, should Purdue continue to keep Notre Dame on their schedule. And one of the main reasons that I've seen out there is just because of how much Purdue has struggled against Notre Dame throughout the years. And I don't like that as a reason to not
That not,
schedule
yeah.
a team. To me, that's more of an incentive of, like, hey, let's go out and get some dudes so that we can beat them. I am under the impression I really like playing Notre Dame every year. I like that rivalry. It's what, a couple hour drive from the two campuses. I like everything that goes into it. And, I would hate to not see them continue to play. And if your reasoning is, well, we can't beat them, so we might as well schedule a team that we can win, I don't know. I don't like that aspect of it. I'm curious your thoughts, but I would hate to see this be a game that we lose, because, and when I say a game that we lose on the schedule, simply because of you'd rather schedule a quote unquote easier team there.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of removing it for that reason either. I think that Notre Dame, who, year in and year out tends to be one of the better teams in the country, I think that it's good to have that level of competition, baked into the schedule, because if you are the team you think you can be, you want to be playing, you want to be playing better competition. And when we talk about like what Odom's trying to build here, and we want to build something that's sustainable. Well, if we do ever do get to that point where it's like kind of like with basketball, where you go into a season and you have aspirations of making a deep run in the in the you know in like a basketball, the deep run in the in the tourney, and obviously now with the college football playoff, if you go into the season and have those aspirations, that's a game on your schedule that can help. Like the brand that is Notre Dame, it helps. Even if Notre Dame is like isn't up to their usual, isn't up to their usual shit. Like that's ne it's never gonna be a bad thing to have Notre Dame on the schedule. And it feels like to say that, well, because Purdue struggles with them, we shouldn't have them on there. That just kind of feels like you're running away from a challenge. And I would, and I just, I don't like that. I don't like that. Well, because they've been beating us. Like, well, if they're beating us, like, let's fucking do something about it. Like, let's shit. Like, there's only like, it doesn't get better because you take them off the schedule. I think you need to keep having them on the schedule. Also, I know for myself, there's some people I know who are Notre Dame fans, and eventually, at some point, I'd like to be able to balance the scales with them and tell them, hey, look, sucks to suck. My team didn't win. I'd like to be able to say in the that there's a year where Purdue beats, both Notre Dame and the school down south. And then I can sit here and be like, oops, the Kings of fucking Indiana football, the reside in West Lafayette. Those are some personal reasons for me. The bars I could get off from that standpoint. I want that. But
It
yeah,
seems like you, it seems like you, you've had that inside just ready to, release
you say that like I'm petty
got
and I hold
bars
grudges.
ready.
You say that like I'm petty and I hold grudges. Which no comment. Anyways,
Okay.
but nah, man. I mean, but just to answer your question, I don't think that's a. I think that you should keep Notre Dame on the schedule. I think if it, Notre Dame is not on the schedule, I feel like it should be because Notre Dame doesn't want to. But I don't think that it should be because, oh, well, Purdue, you keep losing, so like you should probably take them off the schedule. Notre Dame aside, last year there was a lot of losing. It just again, I just feel like that's almost by default weakening your schedule year in and year out voluntarily, which you should, in my opinion, you shouldn't be doing. And I would offer those who are saying that to take a look over at basketball, and see what they've been doing in the non-conference for the better part of the last decade in terms of the preseason tournaments they've been in, the mutual site games they've been in, like. Were you going to say because, Auburn beat the shit out of Purdue last year in basketball that like, no, they shouldn't be on the schedule anymore? It was like, no, that was like a proper lesson that we needed to get. And for what the fruit that it bared later in the year, because I think that as a result of that game, the team got better and, the coaches understood, hey, we might even make some changes here, but that doesn't happen without that. So sometimes as much as it sucks, you if you do go up against a team and they beat your ass, like it's a possibility to be a turning point, a point of growth. That you otherwise don't get. So no, that's a hard pass for me. Keep Notre Dame on the schedule, my personal reasons aside, but yeah, keep them on the schedule.
No, I'm right there with you. And even to your point about, testing yourself in the non-con, we just talked about it in the last episode with the volleyball team, and how they have ch challenged themselves this year with their non-conference schedule. And whether it's volleyball, basketball, on the gridiron, like I'm all for ch challenging yourself. Win or lose, I feel like you find out a lot more about your team when you schedule, top-notch opponent. So I'm right there with you. I hope that we get to see this extended, mainly because too, I th just think we're on a really good track right now, and I want to see us roll with that. And with that, I want to see us knock off some of these interstate rivalries. But Sim, let's go ahead and look ahead to kind of our predictions on this one. When we talked about like the preview episodes and when we looked at this schedule, very worse. If you want to get to like best case, if you want you got to at least go 2-2 this month. And so it almost kind of feels like you're playing with a little bit of house money. We said, if you can steal one of these two games against USC and Notre Dame, you're feeling really, really good. Especially with how tough it looks like November is going to be. But worst case, you're going to end the month 2-2. So that's why I say like playing with house money. But this is a really tough game. Going on the road against a ranked team, you've lost 9 straight games against Notre Dame, 6 of those by at least 10 points or more. So it has not been easy. I think we're both in agreement, like looking at the spread, like if the spread came out, I think it's at 26 and a half. That's insanely high to me. I don't know how anybody could justify taking Notre Dame and the points. I don't know where that line came from. I think it's going to be a really close game. But you know, it's just with everything that's, you know, looking at this, you've lost 9 in a row, you're on the road. I think the tough thing for me is you got a Notre Dame team that needs a win in the worst way. So you're going to get their best game. But you know, on the flip side of that, you've got a Purdue team who is coming off of their worst game early on. They went toe to toe with a top 25 team. Like, they're going to be itching at the bit to bounce back too. So how do you see this one going there?
Oh man, I kind of hate these predictions, man, because make me sound like such a fucking hater or a pessimist. No, I think 26 and a half as a spread is kind of crazy. I think, like, we were talking about it offline, like, that kind of seems like it was a spread that was developed by, like, they, you know, that they came up with that by people who weren't watching that USC game. I think even if you're a reasonable fan and you watch that game, you knew, like, yeah, Purdue lost by what, 16, but like they didn't lose by like but that wasn't a 16 point, you know, like wasn't actually a 16 point loss. Like, you know, we talked about like 17 points off of turnovers and that stuff. The thing that worries me though, yeah, is just that I just believe Notre Dame's just gonna play incredibly desperate. I think I saw something earlier that was saying that Marcus Freeman's gonna have more input on the defense, and I believe that's where he got his chops at as a coach, you know, like on his on you know when he first got into coaching and like kind of on his come up. So because yeah, Notre Dame lost their defensive coordinator after last year, which is why I think you're seeing that, and they lost talented guys on the defense, which is why I think you're seeing the slippage there. But I think that's going to be a really big point of emphasis for them, is defensively getting stops, you know, being able to impact the game on that side of the ball, because as we talked about, their offense can kind of move. So for me, I think that the score, I think it's going to be, I think it'll be 34-24 Notre Dame. And I don't like saying that. Again, Purdue, every time when we do these predictions and I have them losing, please feel free to prove me wrong. Like, I don't mind coming on here eating crow and being like, yeah, I was wrong. But my thought is that while we'll continue to see the offense be able to put some drives together, it's not necessarily that I think that Ryan Brown's going to continue to be charitable with the football. I can just see Notre Dame making a couple plays. And when you're at home, you just tend to get you can get some favorable bounces. And I feel like it'll still be close. I feel like in the fourth, again, Purdue will have an opportunity where it's like, hey, if you can score and get a stop, like, yeah. But I think they might be able to do one but not the other. Like, they'll score, but they're not able to get the stop, or they get a stop, but like they're just not able to kind of, and they're driving, but like they have to settle for a three when they need to actually, like, when like a seven, you know, a touchdown is kind of what would really drive the sense of like, oh shit, from Notre Dame. So, yeah, what did I say? 34-24. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. But Purdue, please prove me wrong in a good way. In a good way. Also, if you're into that type of stuff with gambling, yeah, I probably would take Purdue in the points.
No, I'm right there with you. I don't. It's gonna be tough. And while I don't think the defense is gonna give up that many points, I'm gonna go roughly in the same general area. I think Notre Dame 27-24. I do think that you're going to see a much better game from Ryan Brown. I think you're going to see a more conservative game plan, where they're going to really run the football more. And I think you're going to see Brian Brown run the ball more, and Maccabee run the ball more and try to keep that Notre Dame offense off the field. I think the defense is going to play well again. I think just, man, I just hate that Notre Dame won over, or that they lost over the weekend. I really wish they would have won and come in 1-1. I would have felt a lot better about a potential upset. It's just really tough to see Notre Dame go 0-3 to start the year. But like you said, like Purdue, if you want to prove me wrong, man, go ahead and do it. But man, it's gonna be tough. On the road, it's gonna be a raucous environment. 3:30 kick on NBC. But you know, it's one that I'm really excited to just see how this team responds. You know, and that's from, you know, the staff down. Like, how is this? How are they gonna call plays? How is Ryan Brown going to respond? Is the defense going to, you know, I think we might start to see the defense get a little bit more aggressive, just to try to generate some of those negative plays. So how does that work? You know, it's just, I think it'll be a really fun, entertaining game.
Yeah, I hope so. Because yeah, if it gets bad, I'll go from single fisting to double fisting drinks. So, yeah, I just like you said, like we, you know, talked about earlier at the beginning of this episode about how, you know, we had those questions after they won. How do you handle that type of adversity? And then you ask, so and now we have a new scenario under which, like, yeah, how do you handle this adversity? How do you handle coming off of a loss, especially when you know there was a handful of plays that if they go differently, that you know the possible game goes differently. You know how just seeing if we continue to kind of work on sharpening and refining the details, because I think if Purdue does like if Purdue does do such, whereas like, and that's like not even necessarily on defense turning the ball over, but if you're the tackling is short is better, you know, we're talking about the whole like getting off the field. If the offense doesn't turn the ball over, they will, I very strongly believe they will be in it late. Like I very strongly believe that, you know, that'll be the case. So yeah, man, just nervous. I just talking about this, and especially now thinking about the score, I can feel the nerves already peaking up, and I'm like, Jesus, here we go.
No, I'm right there with you. But I do agree too. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be one of those games that'll come down to the last possession and could it be one of those, you know, weird games where you block a field goal late or, you know, one of those things. It just feels like there's gonna be a big play late, that'll decide this game, and I just hope that the Boilermakers are on the right side of that big play. But you know, whatever happens, win or lose, we'll be here to break it all down. Again, 3:30 kickoff in South Bend on NBC. Really just excited to see, you know, how Coach Odom and the staff and the squad go out there, first road game. But regardless of the outcome, we will be here to break it all down next week. Be sure to check us out on all the social media platforms. Definitely make sure to interact with us during the game. Really enjoy those interactions. But most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.